Playful play.
Purposeful work.
Rugged outdoor living.
Our camps and conservation efforts.
Teach timeless skills.
And kindle the spirit within.
Farm and wilderness.
Farm and wilderness.
Farm and wilderness.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Farm and Wilderness podcast. My name is W. I am the director of Camp Timberlake and director of camp coordination for all of Farm and Wilderness. And if you have been listening to all my episodes up to this point, first off, thank you. I appreciate you. If you haven't yet, if you're just joining us on this episode, please make sure you go back and listen to those. I say that because this episode is a little bit different than the ones we've been doing so far. The last few episodes, I've been interviewing directors to hear about their camps and hear about what really makes them unique and special. And those have been really aimed at prospective families, but of course, alumni and other folks have listened to them about saying, here's who we are and make a decision to join us or not, even though we would really love you to join us. Other episodes, and this is the first episode of this part of the series, are really aimed at our other fellow educators in the camp outdoor learning space. So if you are not one of those, feel free to still listen. But this episode might feel a bit of behind the scenes because we are wanting to talk about how we plan the camp magic that we do. If you are a camp professional, I'm excited to share this concept that we've been using for years with a ton of success at Farm and Wilderness and Camp Timberlake. And I encourage anyone who's an educator to steal like an artist. You need to read that book, mainly because I offer this freely, right? Please take these things that we've learned and do amazing things with them. Now, before I get to this particular model, and I don't want to say that this model is... If you've done any kind of lesson planning, you get to hear a lot of similarities in this model. However, the deep intentional connection to the greater world and the outside world, I think is what makes this model kind of uniquely suited for Farm and Wilderness and all the places that I've used it. So I want to go on a little bit of tangents, if you will kind of indulge me while you're listening to this podcast. And so hopefully you don't tune out. But you may or may not know, I am a former teacher. I taught special education and middle school math in New York. And I came through as a teaching fellow, which used a lot of kind of teach like a champion and things like that. And I was really trained on doing a ton of planning for my lessons. In fact, I had a principal at the Brooklyn Urban Garden Charter School that really talked about like the solution to so many problems is planning. And it took me a while to be fully on board with that, but I actually really agree, right? That you need to have a firm plan in place in order to do a remix or variation of it to respond to the kids in front of you. That it's actually a lot harder to wing it in any of these sort of things. If you have been anyone in front of a group of kids, winging it does not work so often, especially if you are the little bit tired, it doesn't work. And so as a first year teacher, I ended up creating these 15, 17, 20 page lesson plans because I was learning the skill and had to write out where was I going to move in the classroom and what was the question I was going to ask and how long was I going to wait and what we're going to do if kids didn't understand. And it's crazy for sure. And as I became a teacher later, I didn't have to do that as much. I would do a lot of copy and paste because I developed my rhythm and style. But as a young teacher, I didn't have any of those things. I had to think those things through. And I really want you to think about, you audience member, about any moment you learn something new, right? Any kind of new skill. And you had to learn the basics before you could kind of remix it, right? So if you learned an instrument, before you could play jazz, you had to learn your scales. Or if you love to write, you had to learn kind of the basic conventions of English in order to write stories in English. And I actually, in hindsight, are really grateful that I was given this foundation in planning because it meant that later on, I could make some incredible remixes or variations off of that planning. I could go on a tangent for this next one. I'm not going to do too deep. I think we actually do a disservice by telling new educators, young counselors, young teachers, hey, just do what feels right. Cool. They don't know what that looks like, right? You need to give them a tool first to try and then adapt, right? You don't say to necessarily a great painter or a great musician without any training at all, just do what you feel like. Like, that's not how learning instruments work. And that's not how learning works. We have a ton of science of what works well to get kids engaged and to teach them well. And so it's good to plan. It's good to think about those things within the context of Farm and Wilderness. So I've been creating staff trainings for Farm and Wilderness since like 2009. And I learned really early this model I'm going to share with you today. And it's worked incredibly well in giving my young staff, mostly 18, 19, 20, the basic tools they need to create incredible, wonderful, amazing, thoughtful camp magic. Because camp magic doesn't just happen. I have to have a conversation with anyone who was a former camper coming on staff that as a camper, you just showed up and camp magic was there. The banquet, the amazing banquet we would have at camp would be there with the insane decorations and the insane food. And when we did Spy Night, which is this incredible all camp game where kids are running across our 100 acres at dusk, trying to get a secret message into our upper lodge. That just happened. But when you're on staff, when you go from former camper to staff, oh snap, it doesn't just happen. You make the magic, and there's more skill to that than you might expect. We go big and we go kind of epic at Timberlake, and we go big at Farm and Wilderness generally, and we have to have some tools and things like that. So I'm about to share with you a tool that's been around Farm and Wilderness for going on 13, 14 years. And this tool is called Natural Cycles. This was originally brought to us by a director named Valley Zephyr, who is an FC director, and he created a training. And a lot of what I'm going to be talking about today is rooted in that training that he first did all those years ago and kind of the variations I have done. And I have taught versions of this training in Los Angeles and South Central LA when I ran an after school there. And I taught this in the South Bronx when I ran an extended day program there. And I've taught it to my teachers that I was teaching and working with at Bugs, the Brooklyn school. And I've taught it to my staff at Timberlake for years, even before I was director. This model works. Now, if you're a teacher, you're going to hear a lot of similarities to models that you know. This isn't necessarily like the most groundbreaking thing, but I think what makes it pretty special is that it gives us a common language to talk about the programming that we do, how to make it really good and epic. And it gives, with that common language, the ability to coach staff and give them feedback on when things don't go well. Because at some point, we offer so many activities every day, sometimes they're not going to go well. And we need a way of talking through staff how to make that better, how to coach them to keep growing and getting better, both for our kids, but because we genuinely want our staff to get better themselves. Now, I want to warn you a little bit before I launch into this. This is a little hippy dippy, as my mom in Texas might say, and that's okay. It's so incredibly deep and thoughtful that, like, if that maybe isn't quite your cup of tea initially, hang with me, because I think you'll find why this model kept working for us year after year after year at Farm and Wilderness. So let's talk about natural cycles. I've never done this in like an audio format. It's always been a real visual kind of presentation of me walking in circles because we're talking about cycles. So let's see how this goes. Hopefully you understand and be picking up what I'm putting down. So I want you to think about the word of cycles and that life itself is a big cycle. Remember, I told you it's a little hippy dippy, but there's a method to this madness, right? So life is a big cycle. We're talking about the changing of the seasons, the rising and setting of the sun, birth and life and death of plants and animals. And that cycle is built into our experience and resonates with us from kind of deep within. And this natural cycles model of lesson planning is a means of understanding and structuring our world and really structuring our activities based on those cycles that skilled trackers and naturalists have observed happening in the world every moment and every day for years. In this current form, natural cycles comes from the work of trackers and outdoor educators from around North America, with particular influence from John Young. So let's think about these cycles. Now, natural cycles as a model can be used for planning and teaching, which is the big thing I'm going to talk about today. But you could also use it for assessing groups and individuals and thinking about personal growth, where we won't talk about those two things today. So I want you to think about a cycle or a circle. I'm going to give you some examples of cycles to kind of keep in your mind as we go through this model. So I want you to think about the sun through a single day, right? When you wake up, the day begins in the east where the sun first rises and the light of dawn is kind of touching everything and the birds are singing and we feel, you know, our day is about to begin. And soon the sun moves kind of overhead in the heat of noon. And we are working during that time, right? And then the sun will start to pass kind of midday. And then the sun sets in the west. And we are often reflecting or relaxing or celebrating the work that we have done. And then the sun literally goes, or the earth goes, but it feels like from our perspective, it goes around the earth and will start on the east kind of the next day. The cycle of sunlight and of celebration in the evening and being inspired to start our day, hopefully inspired to start your day there at the beginning. I also want you to think about this around maybe the seasons, right? We start with the kind of spring and things are growing and budding. We go into summer where it is hotter, and summer we are kind of doing things like we are at summer camp. And in the fall, it is often a time of bounty and celebration. Think of traditional kind of Thanksgiving celebrations or harvest celebrations or all of our kind of other celebrations around that time. And in the winter, when the snow is coming on the ground, at least for places that get snow, the world gets a little bit of quiet and it gets quieter, and it's a time of rebirth before back into spring. So we have the cycle of this day. We have the cycle of the seasons. I also want you to think about a compass rose, right? That we have the north. We often think of north as up, right? And then we have the east to the right, and we have the south going down and the west to the left. Side note, if you need a way of remembering where west and east is, it always reads left to right, the word we. The last circle or cycle that we'll be talking about, and then we're going to put all these together, is I want you to think of like a clock face. And side note, the number of middle schoolers that I had as a math teacher who didn't know how to read a clock, like that's a real thing. It's a real skill. And I really just want you to picture a clock, but picture a clock almost kind of in a 24-hour sense, right? Not the kind of classic 12, where the very top is kind of midnight or the start of a day. And then when you go clockwise about a quarter of the way, the clock normally says 3 a.m. Think of this actually as kind of 6 a.m. in a day. And then when you get to the bottom of the clock, that's like noon. And then when you go another quarter clockwise and kind of facing to the left, that's 6 p.m. And then back to the top is kind of midnight, the start of a new day, a cycle. So we've talked about these cycles of the sun moving through the day, kind of time through the day, seasons through the day, and the cardinal directions. Let's put all those together, and then we'll talk about what does any of this have to do with lesson planning. We'll start at the top. This is north. This is the dead of winter. This is the middle of the night. This is kind of stillness, right, during that time. And as you go clockwise, or you kind of move to the right, you'll get through kind of the bewitching hour. And then when you get a quarter of the way past, this is the equivalent of east, where the sun is rising, where they get this as spring, where that snow is thawing and the new flowers are coming out. Or think of this as about 6 a.m., right? The start of your day. In your brain, keep going around the circle and you'll get to the bottom of the circle. This is south. This is also on a compass rose, it's south. This is also midday. This is where the sun is kind of at its highest. This is noon. Again, we're kind of overlapping all these cycles we're talking about. And if you keep going around to another quarter, kind of quarter turn clockwise, you're getting to the west of celebration and of sunset and of fall at about 6 p.m. And you'll go back to the top where it is midnight, night, things like that. Let's walk through each of these in this model, this idea of cycles, right? I'm going to walk through each of these and go back and then talk about what these look like. Let's start this time at the east, at sunrise. That part of the model for our lesson planning, we call inspiration. Again, it's the start of the day. The sun is coming up. It's spring inspiration. You go to the southeast, right? So about mid-morning, that time of spring slipping into summer. This is orientation in the model. You keep going down. You get to the bottom, which is south. This is also the middle of the day where the sun is at the highest. This is also summer months and kind of working months. This is what we call perspiration. You keep going, you get to the southwest. So this is summer turning into fall. This is the late afternoon turning into evening. We call this part of the model relaxation. Then you go to the west, which is kind of the end of the day. It is about 6 p.m. It is dinner time, but it's also fall and celebration of the day of the season that you just went through. We go up to the northwest. This is the day going into night. This is fall going into winter. This is stick season in Vermont. We call this reflection. We get to the top of our cycles. This is north. This is the dead of night. This is the middle of winter. We call this integration. And then we keep going around to the northeast. This is right before spring hits you. This is the bewitching hour at night, kind of that time right before the sun comes up. We call this part of the model transformation. When we think about the model and we think about lesson planning, we talk to our staff of really thinking about the part to the lesson that we can impact the most is kind of like that daytime piece. It is the east, inspiration, orientation, perspiration, relaxation, and celebration. That's the part we have the most control of. We have some control over reflection and very little in terms of integration and transformation. And at those pieces of the model, again, north, middle of the winter, kind of bewitching hour, we can set things up for that, but that's really kind of a personal space, right? And when we think of, let's talk about kind of those nighttime things for a second, northwest, north, and northeast. When we think of reflection, this word makes a lot of sense, right? You are reflecting on what just happened, the day. In lesson planning, this might be an exit ticket, right? But what is the north? What is integration? When we're talking about activities at camp, when we're talking about planning activities at camp, integration is really that moment, that space of changing from I do a thing to the thing I do is part of me. It is going from I run to I'm a runner. I swim, I'm a swimmer. When you have that it's the, you know, you're just, it becomes a description rather than just a verb, right? That is integration. And that could happen after one lesson, but that really happens over time, right? So we can set up situations for that, but we can't actually cause integration in someone. And then that northeast, that transformation is I've integrated from I run to I'm a runner. I'm now transformed to having that be an integral part of my life and kind of better change on the other side for having had that. That's kind of the north, the wintry, the darker parts of the cycle. Let's now go through kind of the more lesson planning parts of this. And as I'm going through this, if you're a teacher, a lot of this is going to sound like hooks and do nows and exit tickets. It's going to sound familiar, but this is the language that we're talking about. As I move through the circle, you'll notice that I keep moving in kind of a clockwise while you're visualizing this. And really, you will find once we go through this that clockwise is generally what you're rotating through, but you can kind of go back and forth too, depending on the structure of your lesson. So let's think about the east, the inspiration piece. When you are planning, when we have our staff planning, we always want them to start with inspiration. Again, east, 6 a.m., the start of the day, the start of spring. We want kids to be excited and hyped to do a thing. This is through an exciting story, or you're challenging them, or you're making something and you're showing this is the thing I made and you could make this too. So they're inspired in the east. Your activity then needs to have a plan for orienting kids on how to do the thing you just hyped them up to do. You inspired them in the east. Now you need to orient them. This is really about teaching them how to do the thing. Now, sometimes the teaching is the orientation, but really it's about setting the stage so they can go do the thing themselves. You get to the south, the midday. This is perspiration. The word in this context is you're literally doing the thing that in the east you hype them up to do, and then you move down to orient them to show them how you're going to do the thing. And in the south, you actually do the thing. Then you get to the Southwest. Again, that's late afternoon, that summer going into fall, and ignoring, you know, the school schedule. In our model, this is relaxation. You need to take breaks. Breaks are good, right? And the breaks are those moments where the perspiration doesn't become too much. And as you move through this, you'll start to notice, wait, if you spend too much or too little in each space, you start to see those issues. So in the East, you inspire kids. This is what you could do. The Southeast, you orient them. This is how you're going to do the thing. In the South, you do the thing. In the Southwest, you take a break for a moment. And then you get to the West. And again, in our model, in our cycle, this is fall. This is harvest. This is evening celebration, dinner. Celebration is having kids literally celebrate and lift up that they just did a thing. Again, if they're making something, they're all showing off that they did this thing, right? Or if they climb to the top, they are ringing that bell and excited for the thing they just did. And lastly, you get to reflection, which we sort of talked about. And this at our camps can look like a single question, right? How did that make you feel? How was that for you? So kids are kind of reflecting on their experience. And then again, we get to the integration, which you talked about, their transformation. And then the East is we start it all over again. We do it again. What's cool about this model is that it nests inside of itself. I'll give an example in a moment. But when you think about this idea of moving from the East, hyping a kid, inspiring a kid, they're going to do a thing, showing them how to do the thing, doing the thing, taking breaks from it, celebrating, and then reflecting on it. That is a single lesson. That is a day in our camps. That is a week at our camps when opening day is the inspiration. Kids are excited. The first few days of camp, they're being oriented to how to do camp. And then they actually do camp in the perspiration piece and they're taking breaks. And then the last days of camps at all of our camps are celebrations. They're banquets, they're reflections, things like that. And we're giving them space to kind of think about it. And even in that model, the transformation and integration is the end of camp, but kind of the off season, right? Like I went to TL to I'm a TLer. That also kind of happens at camp too. So this is, again, it is a lesson. It is a day. It is a week. It is an entire cycle of the summer kind of nested in it, in each other, which is really amazing. So let's give an example of what this looks like for a lesson. Let's talk about basket weaving, right? As our example. So using this model, someone might be lesson planning. Okay, I need to move through the steps of inspiration, orientation, perspiration, relaxation, celebration, reflection, because I'm about to teach kids how to do basket weaving. And I'm leaving integration transformation for a moment because I can't really do much, but I can plan for the rest. So inspiration, okay, I'm going to get up and show them the cool basket that I made and show them all the cool things you can do with the basket. You can carry it, you can put it on your head as a hat, but just like you yourself could do this. Okay. And then I go to orientation. This is how you weave. This is how you set this up. This is, you know, how you make the handle. Okay. Then you go to perspiration. This is actually the work time. You are making the basket in small groups. We have music on, whatever the thing is, you're making it. Relaxation, you're taking breaks. You can't work, you know, hard straight through. You got to take those breaks. And then at the end of the lesson, they are celebrating by showing off their baskets to each other, right? Or how far we got. And then the reflection might be a series of questions, either handwritten or shared out, often at camp, shared out in a group. How do you feel? Do you feel accomplished or excited? Or what went well for you? What didn't? And that's a lesson using natural cycles. And it is a way of scaffolding staff to make sure they're thinking about those pieces that I talked about, right? And so you can also see pretty quickly where if you don't spend enough time in one of these parts of natural cycles, your lesson isn't going to work. So if you don't spend time planning and executing inspiration, the excitement, kids aren't going to follow you, right? All right, today we're going to build baskets. No kid's going to be hyped for that, right? You need to show them and get them excited that this is the thing that you're going to be doing with us. If you don't orient kids, they don't know how to do it, right? And when kids don't know how to do something, this is actually often where like misbehavior comes from. This was the whole talk I just gave at the conference. If you don't spend enough time orienting, and most adults don't spend enough time doing this, they're actually not as clear with kids as they think they are. They're not going to enjoy the activity because they literally won't know how to do it. Or maybe you spend too much time in inspiration orientation, or something happens and you don't have enough perspiration. If you don't have enough work time, you don't actually get it done. So that doesn't work. Or if you don't have enough relaxation, people are exhausted or burned out. They don't want to do this. You've got to build that in. Or if you don't celebrate it for a kid, well, like, why did I do this? Right. If I'm not getting like a moment to either like personally celebrate or like show to my best friend, look what I did. Like, there's no relationship building there. And then finally, if there's not a reflection piece, we're not building and raising kids in the way that we want to be doing in an intentional way at camp. They just keep rolling on to the next thing. And side note, in like a camp setting, it's actually really easy for camps, my staff included, to forget to do reflection, and you don't actually get that deeper meaning that we're hoping all of our activities are working towards, even an activity on its face that doesn't feel like it needs to, right? Something like playing an all camp game might just have a single reflection question. Who played the most honorably or who helped out the most in this game? That might be all the reflection for that versus something else might be five or six questions. It just depends on what you're doing. Now, again, if you're a teacher, this makes sense. You've used these concepts before, but not necessarily the words. And as you are planning, as you're going through a lesson, you might always go back and forth, right? You might get to perspiration and be like, oh, I didn't spend enough time in orientation because they don't know how to do it. I'm going to go back. Or, oh, kids don't seem, they're not doing what I want them to do. Maybe I need to re-inspire them. It allows staff to really think back and forth in a way that, again, makes intuitive sense because we're talking about the cycles, right? These things that everyone knows and experiences. And we're connecting it to these concepts of, yeah, I want to be inspired. I mean, it's very millennial of me, I'll own that, but like, I want to be inspired and I want to be shown how to do it. And I want time to try it myself. And I want time to take breaks. And I want to celebrate, right? Sometimes I want to be celebrated, but I want to take a moment and be like, wow, I just did this thing. I just climbed to the top of the mountain or whatever. And then I want to reflect, and hopefully that comes a part of who I am and kind of all the things that I'm doing. So I want to run through again the cycle real quick. I'll give one more example, and then hopefully this will be a tool that makes sense for you to use. A shorter episode today. So again, north at the top, that's integration. Northeast, transformation. The east to the right, again, kind of 3 a.m. on a 12-hour clock, inspiration. Southeast, orientation. The south, perspiration. Southwest, relaxation. The west, fall, 6 p.m., 9 on like a regular 12-hour clock, celebration. And then northwest is the reflection, and then back to north, integration. I want to give another example of this. And again, hopefully this is starting to click for you. And I'm going to include integration and transformation in this time. And we're going to give the example of rock climbing. And I'm not a rock climber myself, but I have staff who are rock climbers, and they want to create a plan for rock climbing. So in the Northeast, that transformation is where we're starting, that kind of, again, dead of night, bewitching hour, right before spring turns. And you want to teach campers how to rock climb because you yourself found rock climbing to be transformative for you. So then you get to you're planning for your lesson. Okay, I'm going to get to the east. I'm going to inspire them with a cool story or a challenge, or I'm going to demonstrate that this is something you could do. And you're going to let them know that like this could be dangerous, which my TLers tend to get excited about. But I'm going to show you how to do all this safely. You move to the southeast and you teach them the ropes, literally how to put on a harness and a helmet, how to tie the knots, to the call and responses you need to do. You're orienting them on how to climb. Then in the south, again, noon, midday, summer, you're climbing, right? They get to go up the chimney or the rock face, whatever it is. In the southwest, again, kind of late afternoon, you're taking a break, relaxation, right? Like, that was hard. That was challenging. Let's take a break. Let's have some water. And then we're going to try again. We'll go back maybe to perspiration, depending on our timing. And in the west, again, fall, harvest, you're celebrating. That was awesome. Like, let's talk about and celebrate that we climbed today. And in the northwest, you're ending the activity. You're planning a reflection. What did we learn today? How can you apply what we learned to other things? And then again, we get to the north and northeast that for the camper, we can only kind of influence, but can't directly control. So that north is, kids are starting to rock climb often, and they go from I climb to I'm a climber. And that skill becomes part of their identity. And then that northeast, that transformation is maybe they want to turn around and teach someone, not a camp, but they maybe want to teach something. Or how can they take what they've learned and move forward? Do they want to go caving? Do they want to go ice climbing? Do they want to go bouldering? What does this look like for the rest of their kind of lives? I have found this model so simple and so intuitive and so helpful to my summer staff in creating their individual experiences and the flow of the summer. We literally got rid of weeks at Timberlake. We have our own time, which should not be surprising to anyone who knows Timberlake. And we literally call them cycles. And we think about the start of the cycles, inspiration, and how do we end the cycle in celebration? And at TL, the end of the cycle, the celebration is council fire, right? Which is a time of celebration because kids are getting up and showing their skits. And then at the end, we're doing appreciations, which is part of that celebration reflection piece, right? We start the summer with orienting them how to do TL. And by the end, we're doing the big banquet. This thing stacks in and of itself. And even that concept, when I was lesson planning with do nows and exit tickets, yeah, we talked about scope and sequence, but we really weren't thinking a lot about how this nests in this really, really intuitive way. So if you are a fellow camp professional, feel free to reach out. I can gladly give you more of this stuff, still like an artist. But hopefully too, as you are training your staff or thinking about how to get them to think beyond just where to go hang out and do a thing, how can you train them to be more intentional of their planning? And when they are more intentional with their planning, their activities will be more successful. And when their activities are more successful, kids will have more fun. Awesome. But staff will feel a sense of efficacy that they can do it. And if they feel like they can do their jobs, they're going to come back summer after summer and keep making amazing, wonderful programming for you, right? And how can they then stretch this and connect it to your bigger mission and values and the whole reason that you are existing at camp in the first place? So hopefully this is helpful. If nothing else, I hope that you found this interesting and was okay with me taking some time just myself to chat with you for a little bit. In future episodes, we'll have more interviews and there'll be some other kind of moments where it's just me and the microphone telling you, here's how Farm and Wilderness makes this pretty incredible, epic magic in a way that I think only we can do. Although shout out to all my other camps who are doing some pretty amazing things as well. My name is W. Hopefully you learned something today. I'm doing this podcast on behalf of Farm and Wilderness. And if you'd like to register, apply for a job at, or just learn more, check out farmandwilderness.org. We're on YouTube, we're on Instagram, we're at TikTok. Please check those out. And in particular, check out those staff testimonials. This episode has been a part of our limited series for spring 2023. If you subscribe and leave us a good review, and please do that, we might just be able to come back in the fall. Original music by Emmett Powers, recording and editing done by myself. Thanks to everyone at Farm and Wilderness who helped make our summers possible. Our camp vocabulary word today comes from Timberlake. We probably won't do a Timberlake episode this spring, so I want to take this opportunity and I want to describe this incredibly weird, wonderful thing hidden in our woods. It's called the spaceship. And story goes that years ago, they were doing work on the main road and a Smith mixer tipped over and they couldn't use it. So the director at the time drug that back part of the Smith mixer into the woods, literally put it on like a concrete base, and they painted it to look like a spaceship done by like actually a pretty famous graffiti artist whose name is completely kind of falling out of my head at this moment. It is so creepy and wonderful. And it's often when we take our first lodgers like, hey, look at this really cool thing in the woods. That is the spaceship at Timberlake. And if you come visit us, maybe you'll get to see it. And with that, remember, camp magic is real, y'all. Until next time.